DW.
Cambodia's forests contain tree species you won't find anywhere else in the world, especially the luxury rosewood. But these forests are disappearing at an alarming rate, says activist Srey Sar from environmental organization Mother Nature.
Deforestation has many consequences for the communities who live in those areas. I've really seen the changes during the last few years. The climate is changing. The rainy season changes and little streams that run through the forest and are important for those communities are drying up very quickly.
At least 2,000 square meters of forest in Cambodia disappears every year, according to Thai Trai, executive director at Open Development Cambodia. Although cutting and selling of valuable tree species is officially prohibited, the percentage of forest cover is reducing dramatically, he says.
In 1973, the forest cover is around 72.11. In 2014, the percentage is 47.68, and this also includes tree plantation.
Most of the wood is smuggled across the border and sold in Vietnam, says Meng Heng, another environmental activist from Mother Nature.
We've been investigating this, and we know the wood goes to Vietnam or to China, or first to Vietnam and then to China. About 20% is used by locals.
Meng Heng and other activists are trying to stop illegal logging.
We have been working in Kampong Spew province. We simply go there and tell people to stop logging. It is our forest. We're not many people, but we try to do what we can to protect it.
Some of the loggers are from the local community itself, but some are poor farmers who leave their hometown and come to the forest. They know they can easily earn a living with logging. It's an illegal industry with links to exploitation, smuggling, corruption, and even murder.
According to a Wildlife Conservation Society, a forest ranger and a police officer were gunned down Saturday in Cambodia.
3 weeks ago, one of Asia's leading environmental activists was gunned down in Cambodia.
A journalist who had been investigating illegal logging was killed on Saturday night.
I am in Kampong Spu province. In these parts of the forests, you need a local guide to get around the dense jungle and the bumpy, narrow roads. I join a forest patrol with a local journalist, Aung Peep, who has written extensively on the topic of illegal logging. We are driving through the jungle on motorbikes. For our safety, we are joined by two armed men. A bumpy road takes us deep into the forest, down narrow paths and across a stream. We come to a stop at the bottom of a hill. Aung Peep says this is one of the spots where he's seen illegal loggers at work.
A lot of people logging on the mountain. I think he's hiding in the forest now.
And then, all of a sudden, we come across three men. They are bathing in a small pond. We see piles of wood, axes and saws on the ground. Aung Peep tells me they are illegal loggers. We approach the group cautiously to ask them why they are logging illegally. To my surprise, one of the men agrees to tell me his story.
We don't have enough money to get by. By selling wood, we hope to have a better income to support our families. We got $1,500 US from a microfinance institution. We used the money to buy a cow machine that we now use to transport the wood.
By cow machine, he means a simple farm tractor, which replaces the two cows he used.
By cutting and selling wood, we make $50 US in just a few days. That's more than we earn on our farm. Along the way, we have to pay the rangers, who ask us for $1.50 every time.
Such corruption is systemic in Cambodia, says environmental activist Trai Sor.
The loggers have to bribe several people. The forest rangers ask for hush money to let them cut down the trees. When they transport the wood, they have to pay police officers along the way. At every police station, they have to pay again. Because so many people are benefiting from this illegal business, it's very difficult to stop it.
Unfortunately, the forest patrol I'm joining can't do very much to stop it. They can document a problem in a report and try to persuade loggers to return to farming instead. Activist Heng Meng has a good idea how corruption works.
Only a few companies have a license to cut wood legally. These companies are owned by people in the army, often in senior positions. The local people cut down trees illegally and sell the wood to the army. The company can then give this wood a legal label.
Journalist An Peep and I venture east to the military base in Snul, close to the Vietnamese border. Instead of taking the front entrance, we walk down the road that goes along the backside of the property. Peep tells me this is the place where the wood is collected before it is smuggled into Vietnam.
You see the wood? The wood's still there. You see? There was one soldier.
We can see piles of luxury rosewood lying on the grass. We recognize it by its color. In a makeshift tent, we meet a man wearing army clothing.
I don't work here. I just borrowed this shirt from my brother.
It's clear from talking to us he doesn't want to be connected to any illegal operations. He says the Cambodian army does buy wood from the locals here and pays them $2.50 per log. But the wood, he says, is not being smuggled into Vietnam, it's used locally on pepper plantations. As a car pulls up, An Peep and I decide it's time to go.
He's a military.
A man gets out of the car and gestures for us to stay. He's wearing civilian clothes, a khaki cap and a gun inside his belt holster. I'm asked to put my recording device away. I obey but switch to a hidden microphone. For a moment, I think we are about to be arrested. But then the mood suddenly changes and he lets us go. We get into the car and quickly drive away before he changes his mind. Our next stop is Chum Kra Vinh, a village right on the edge of the border.
From here that belong to Cambodia. When we cross the checkpoint here, we get Vietnam. Usually they use of two pieces underneath of the seat.
I try to find some villagers who can confirm this story, but they are not willing to talk to me. One man who initially laughs at my question comes back to me later and admits smuggling is going on.
Maybe they cross the border at night time, but in the daytime I've never seen it. Wood is smuggled every night, but it is difficult for me to say. I risk my job if I say too much.
And again, corruption seems to be part of the process.
The car belongs to senior officials. The officers at the border just let the car pass.
A small barrier marks the border between the two countries. There's a small little building on the Cambodian side, where An Peep says he saw people smuggling wood across the road into Vietnam. One officer lies in a hammock, another plays games on his phone. A fan offers the two men some relief from the hot air. We put the allegations of corruption and smuggling to the officers, but they don't say much.
The information about the smuggling is not true. I can't tell you my name or my rank. I'm not allowed to talk to the press.
Along the main road, we see several motorbikes loaded with wood pass by. We hail down the motorists to see if they'll talk to us.
I get $100 to transport these two trunks across the border.
This man appears nervous and abruptly ends the conversation, but his companion is more willing to talk.
Officers let me pass at the border, if I bribe them, of course, or give them something to eat, like some pork meat. I do this because I have a loan from the bank and a family to feed. I have three daughters, aged 2, 7, and 9.
The smugglers say they're just trying to make ends meet, but this system cannot go on forever, says Meng Heng from Mother Nature.
I hope the government will do more to stop illegal logging once they realize we are running out of valuable tree species. Now they are too easygoing because they think there's still enough wood left. I hope they will take action before it's too late.
Chris Janssens for DW in Cambodia.
DW